302.
Well, because so many people are indoors in Mexico City, crime has fallen dramatically. You think, wow, 20 million people, and you think of the outer-lying areas of Mexico, Cancun and Acapulco and Cabo San Lucas, and a lot of those areas reporting less crime, but there's less tourists as well. There's no Cinco de Mayo. A lot of things have been halted in that city, including government offices, so, and schools and whatnot, with 160 deaths. Hey, everybody, hope you're having a good one. This is Kate Delaney, and the show is America Tonight. We fondly call it the favorite of people who have ADD, because we talk about so many different things. Swine flu, obviously, still front and center for a lot of people. You have a run on masks in certain areas, which we know from Dr. Ramirez, if you were listening to one of our previous shows, told us the masks don't do any good because you'd have to change them out so much. You'd be paying thousands of dollars if you could even get the right kind of surgical mask that you needed. Now, that's not to say if somebody has the swine flu and they wear a mask that maybe their germs aren't all out there and they're infecting people. But, of course, it is this kind of a virus where if you cough and sneeze and all that other sort of stuff, and then there's that incubation period, it's tough to tell when you first got it, etc. That's why we're seeing so many of the school kids come down with it, and that's why 300 schools are closed and won't be open for at least a couple of weeks. Now, in the U.S., they're saying it's kind of leveling off a little bit. In Mexico, they're saying it's leveling off a little bit, but there was all these questions about closing the border or what to do along the border. So Janet Napolitano, of course, every day she's been addressing that rather as the face behind Homeland Security, and here's what she had to say on that.
Look, if the public health officials tell us there would be some utility in closing a particular port, obviously we'll take that action. But to date, there's been no such advice. And indeed, I think the president had it right last night. The horse is out of this barn. We already have multiple cases in multiple states in the United States, indeed multiple countries around the world. So let's deal with what we have. Here, the common sense rule is the rule we're abiding by, which is government's doing everything it can. We're asking the private sector to dust off their business continuity plans and be prepared. And we're asking individuals to do everything they can. You know, wash your hands. If you feel sick, don't go to work, school. Get right on transit where you could contaminate others.
And then there was the moment where Janet Napolitano had to cover up for Joe Biden. Joe Biden, known for putting his foot in his mouth, and he talked about not traveling by air as one of the things that you can consider as far as being cautious about the swine flu, and this was her response.
Yeah, I think the vice president, if he could say that over again, he would say if they're feeling sick, they should stay off of public transit or confined spaces, because that indeed is the advice that we have been giving.
All right. And of course, when you think of, and the airlines were furious by what Biden said, by the way, American Airlines came out with a statement right away. But in all honesty, it's not the great time to go to Mexico. If you do want to go to Mexico City, you can get an incredible bargain because nobody's traveling there. And the same with the Mexican Riviera, which is a very hot and popular place. Who really wants to go to the epicenter of swine flu? It's different when you're talking about the United States with the mild strains and the pocket areas, because it's not like every city is loaded for bear and this is a pandemic in the United States. It's scarier, it just is the way it is. It's scarier in Mexico City. Hello, of course it is. That's why it's like a ghost town. And you don't have people out in the square eating in many of the restaurants. You've got the cathedrals closed down. You don't have people going to movies. You don't have people out and about. You're canceling the Cinco de Mayo parade. But, of course, they're doing that as a precaution because so many people have come down with it. You have over 2,000 people that are some of them in the hospital, and they're trying to solve this riddle of the of the swine flu, which, by the way, they're not calling it the swine flu. There's another name because in many of the other countries, they're slaughtering the pigs with the connection with pork. And so that's been obviously an ugly thing. And in the United States, they're concerned about the pork industry and concerned, frankly, as well about tourism, just like Mexico is, too. So I wonder if you're changing anything in your patterns. We've already had some people write to us at AmericaTonight.net and call the show and saying that if it's, and this is what I think, if it's not in your area, then you're not really thinking about it. You don't want other people to get sick with it, but it's the headlines and you're hearing us talk about it and we're having guests about it. But if you're not, if you don't have it in your area, it's not as big of a deal. Now there's people listening to us on 1160 KVCE, and it's a big deal there. And the reason it's a big deal is because in Texas, they've shut down a ton of schools. They've got some confirmed cases, and there's some massive concern over the flu. Where is it contained? And you just don't know. You don't know how many people might be incubating it right now. I've said this before already on the air, and it's like a mile away from me. There were some confirmed cases, and it's at a school, and the school, of course, is closed down. Chrysler, not closed down, but doing the bankruptcy thing. And President Obama had some things to say about Chrysler and this deal with Fiat. And, of course, the crazy way they're pulling this all together. Here were his thoughts on that auto giant.
For too long, Chrysler moved too slowly to adapt to the future, designing and building cars that were less popular, less reliable, and less fuel efficient than foreign competitors. That's part of what has brought us to a point where they sought taxpayer assistance. But, as I've said from the start, we simply cannot keep this company or any company afloat on an endless supply of tax dollars. My job as president is to ensure that if tax dollars are being put on the line, they are being invested in a real fix that will make Chrysler more competitive. That's why I rejected the original restructuring plan that Chrysler offered last month. It was clear that if we put tax dollars in that plan, it would be a bad deal for American taxpayers and would not put the company on a viable path.
So now check this out. Chrysler has a couple of different owners, owned by two governments, the U.S., which would be 8%, Canada 2%. It's going to be run by an Italian automaker. That's the Fiat Group. And then Fiat is pouring its technology into the U.S. factories owned by Chrysler to pump out cars whose sales will be financed by GMAC. Following that, everybody? Following the bouncing ball? And by the way, Chrysler's CEO, Robert Nardelli, who is the guy behind Home Depot, is saying that he's going to leave the firm when the bankruptcy proceedings basically are all wrapped up. So Chrysler announcing it's going to idle all auto manufacturing as part of the bankruptcy planned restructuring. The good news, I guess, for a lot of people that work for Chrysler is ultimately they're going to hang on to their gigs. We'll see if the Fiat guy can turn things around, and that's where it's at least at this point. And as far as the bankruptcy process, I think it's going to be pretty short. They're talking maybe 30 to 60 days, no longer than that. If it's on the 30-day side, probably that's certainly a lot better. Coming up on the flip side, the paranormal. Oh, yeah, we're going to go there with a guy named Bill Bean who has a book out about a rough experience as a kid in a haunted house, and it's called Dark Horse, next on ATN.
Would you give someone $100 for a $10 bill? If you're taking vitamins and minerals in a pill form, that's exactly what you're doing. Hello, my name is Dr. David Friedman. According to the Physician's Desk Reference, many vitamins and minerals in a pill form are 10% absorbed. It doesn't take a mathematician to figure out for every $100 you spend on these pills, you're flushing $90 down the toilet. Start absorbing the nutrients you swallow. Introducing Chews for Health, a delicious tasting chewable containing 16 superfruits, sea vegetables, and antioxidants
antioxidants. You know, you work hard for your money. Isn't it time to start getting what you pay for? Order today. 1-800-210-1922. With Choose for Health, your body gets to keep the nutrients you swallow. The first 300 callers are going to receive a free copy of my best-selling CD, America's Unbalanced Diet.
1-800-210-1922.
Or go to OrderChoose.com.
Good day, Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources, April 30th, 2009. Gold opened this morning at $891.70. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $917.69, $458.85 for a half ounce, and $229.42 for the quarter ounce. That's $917.69, $458.85, and $229.42.
70% of China's 1 trillion reserves are in dollar, now purchasing 250,000 barrels of oil per day from Iran in euro. Japanese refiners buy 550,000 barrels, switching dollar to yen. Bad news for U.S. currency. China and Japan hold large positions in dollar. Dollar's fallen to 65% of euro. Erosion accelerates. Countries despise imperialistic policy of U.S. Loss of confidence causing more selling. GAO is warning about the debt spiraling out of control. Why attack Iran? Jerome O'Corsi's Iran leads attack against the U.S. dollar document spells it out. Call 800-686-2237. The value of your hard-earned money is being destroyed in a global game of chess. Call 800-686-2237 for Corsi's report today. That's 800-686-2237.
Are you concerned for the safety of your loved ones? Listen closely to this message from pepperspray.com. Every 22 seconds a violent crime is committed. America has changed, and your personal safety is your first priority. Be smart. Be safe. Trust Pepper Spray instead of your luck. Pepperspray.com is the only website you'll ever need for all of your non-lethal self-defense supplies. Pepperspray.com carries one of the largest assortments of pepper spray and personal safety products on the web. From big to small, we have it all. Pepper spray, mace, animal repellents, stun guns, and tasers. Pepperspray.com also carries a large assortment of products for personal, home, child, and pet safety. Enter SAFE in the coupon box and you'll receive a special discount off of your order. So what are you waiting for? Go to pepperspray.com. That's pepperspray.com. Or call 1-800-908-9988 to...
More on the swine flu, some specific areas where new cases have been reported. Also, our blunder of the week that I mentioned at the top. Ooh, it's a good one. By the way, if you ever want to chime in and pick out who you think should get the blunder of the week, you can shoot us an email at americatonight.net. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, as always, at the helm of ATN, here with you on this wild roller coaster ride. You know, it's always fascinated me, the paranormal, and some of the people that I've spoken to in the past about things that they've seen, and some of this, the incredible stories that are out there. And this is an interesting story, and I can't even imagine this if you're a kid. You remember the whole Amityville horror movies, and I can remember I was a kid and going to see those and thinking, wow, geez, imagine being in this house. I can't even fathom existing in a place like that. Well, our next guest did just that, and the name of the book is called Dark Force. His name is Bill Bean. Bill, thanks for joining us here on America Tonight.
Hi, Kate. Thanks. It's an honor and a pleasure to be on with you.
Oh, well, thank you. You know, I'm really serious about that. It's always fascinated me in movies, and I have talked to some other people who have had some just crazy, wild experiences. When you first put your book together and then your story started to get out there and it was on the Discovery Channel a lot, they played it, by the way, what were people... Did you have a hard time convincing people, or did they say, wow, I just cannot believe you went through this? What was the reaction initially?
Yeah, it's the wow factor, and it's been that way ever since. It's just unbelievable, unbelievably overwhelming, the amount of positive response and well wishes I've received from so many people from not just around the country, but even different parts of the world. It's just incredible. And I really thank God and praise God for it. I mean, I just can't stress to you enough the gravity of this story. I wish it was some sort of made-up fairy tale, Hollywood-type thing or whatever, but unfortunately it's not. And it really happened, and I've had a plethora of experiences since. And, again, I just thank and praise God for delivering me from it.
Well, let's talk about what happened with your family, the house itself, and what was were the first signs that something was not right?
Well, the house is located in Glen Burnie, Maryland, and we moved there in 1970, and it was a three-bedroom ranch-style house, and it was actually semi-dilapidated. My father was a master carpenter, and he saw it as a project that he could restore this house. I strongly feel that they were drawn there. My parents were drawn to this house, and my mother was the first to have an experience in the house. It was a couple days after we had gotten in there, and it was while she was unpacking boxes in the living room. My father had taken us, I have an older sister and a younger brother, and my father had taken us to his parents' house for the day to let my mother organize and let her have some peace. And it was while she was doing this that she felt a presence. And in her mind, she really felt like it was my father who had snuck back into the house, and she thought he was going to play a joke on her and try and scare her. And she spun around, fully anticipating to see him and hoping to startle him first, and nothing was there. So she was taken aback by it. She was able to go back to what she was doing, but it wasn't long after that that one of the doors slammed shut, one of the bedroom doors, and that was enough to make her go outside.
And what was, you know, what was your father's reaction to all of this? Because that was the first thing that happened, but when other things started to happen, what, how did he respond to this?
Well, his outward reaction was he didn't want to accept or acknowledge it at all. However, he had confided in my mother's mother that he was seeing apparitions in the house, and he knew something very real was going on. He just didn't know how to deal with it. And he was a very good man, a very hard worker, a very good family man, and a very stern and tough type of individual as well. And he certainly would never do anything to put us in fear or to alarm us. So he was very much a protective type of father.
Yeah, and again, the book is called Dark Force, and in it, it's like I said, I remember this clearly on the Discovery Channel. They did a whole series about stuff like this, and the episode that your family was involved in was the House of the Dead, and it has been played a ton of times. How did you exist among each other with these noises, and apparently it eventually escalated into physical attacks? I mean, how did you survive that?
Looking back on it, I'll tell you, Kate, it was so hard to write that book. I had to put myself back in those situations again, and while it was happening, the best way I could equate it would be to tell you it was like being prisoners in a POW camp. We just really had lost all feeling and emotion, even for each other. My family started, I guess, a gradual turn for the worse, not long after moving in. It was a gradual type thing. My sister ended up leaving. She ran away in the middle of the night, and she married a young man in the neighborhood. And she stated in the A Haunting segment that she would have married anyone just to get out of the house. And it seemed like things deteriorated from there, and the focus was on my father then. And he went from being a great family man and a hard worker to a raging alcoholic that I just absolutely loathed. I couldn't even look at him. And he began to physically abuse my mother from a period of 1973 to 1975, and nearly killed her on several occasions. And had he stayed, there's no question that he would have killed her. And based on what I witnessed in the house while he was in these drunken stupors, there's no question in my mind that these demonic forces were able to actually manipulate him while he was under the influence of alcohol, and they were actually driving him to kill my mother.
Wow, and you think that's what, to you it was demonic forces. Did you have somebody come in? Were there different people, experts, that came into the house? Because I would imagine that a lot of people would want to try to analyze what was going on when it was going on, right?
When my father left us in 1975, during this period, my mother was also very ill. And not only was she suffering physical abuse from him, she was suffering from high blood pressure, which led to a series of strokes, which ultimately led to kidney failure. And she was very, very ill. She was a very proud and private woman, and she was very embarrassed and ashamed by what was happening, because when he left us in 75, she started getting attacked on a regular basis by the entities. And that continued up until the day she died, which was several months after we moved out of the house. But to answer your question, yes, we had a priest involved for the last 16 months that we lived there. And it had gotten to the point to where the priest was actually bringing mason jars full of holy water to the house.
Wow. And how did you... Okay, so now you sound healthy. You sound like you've been able to overcome this, and that's part of what the book is about. What was it that led you to clear up all this that you would have to deal with, the things that happened to your mother, the things that happened to you as a kid, your father, all that stuff? What brought you back into the light, I'll say?
God. There's no question about it. God is everything to me, and God delivered me from this, and I can never thank God and praise God enough. That's the best way I can describe it. That's the only thing that I can say. Jesus Christ is my Savior, and I'll tell you, I'll go to the four corners of the earth if God will have me to do it, and sing His praises and give my testimony of what God did for me. And you're right, this book is truly God-inspired. Because as disturbing as my story is, the ultimate message in the book is a message of hope and faith. And my message is, if God did this for me, if God truly delivered me from this, like I say, and which I know to be true, if He did that for me, then He can and will do that for anyone who will call on Him.
Yeah, well, well said. And a really good book, an easy read. I say easy read because you're just captivated by this story. Dark Force, Bill Bean. Bill, we wish you the best, and thanks for joining us on ATN.
Thank you so much, Kate. Take care and God bless.
All right, you too. And it really is, in his book, you know, I don't even really do it justice, but in his book there's all kinds of chapters about pets and things that happen and specific things. And you know, you heard me ask him there. Of course, people are going to think you're crazy. You tell them that something's going on in the house, the door slammed by itself. How could that be? Whatever, you're imagining it and whatnot. But there were so many specific things that that happened, and he listed out chapter by chapter what it was like. And remember, he was a kid when all this was happening, and it really tore his family apart. Hang with us, a lot more to come here on The Big Show.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh, healthy, easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables. Ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396, 866-598-7396.
Hi, this is Peter Kronschnabel with Midas Resources. As you know, government spending is at an all-time high and inflation is on the rise. What are you doing right now to protect yourself financially? As the economy continues to deteriorate due to corporate greed and government intervention, more people will lose their jobs and worse, their life savings. Having your hard-earned money in banks, the stock market, or any other paper asset is a lose-lose deal. You'll lose on your capital investment and you'll lose purchasing power as the dollar continues to devalue. One thing is certain, having physical possession of gold and silver will guarantee that no matter what happens, your investment will never be worthless. If you've been thinking about investing in the physical possession of precious metals, I can help. Call me today, Peter Kronschnabel at 800-686-2237, extension 108, and I will take the time personally to put together a portfolio designed to protect what you've worked so hard for. Call Peter, 800-686-2237, extension 108. You've worked hard your whole life, and I want to work hard for you. Call 800-686-2237, extension 108.
Times are tough right now, and people are unsure about our future. The economy is hurting, even though there are powers that would make us believe differently. Banks are failing, and the gold buyers are buying. Question, with all the chemicals being put into our air, how do you use gold when you are very sick or dead? Investing in precious metals is smart. Investing in your health could be smarter. Life Change Tea changes your life just by drinking our tea. Detox from deadly chemicals, flush poisons that cause harm to your organs, and lose unwanted pounds that bog you down. Call us, 928-308-0408. Again, 928-308-0408. Or you can order online at getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Life Change Tea. We're changing lives.
Tonight. That means we've got movies, whatever movies are coming out, we'll preview them for you. There's a couple big ones pretty soon, Angels and Demons, speaking of Billy Bean and his experience with the paranormal, The Dark Force, that's the name of his book, Dark Force. And I'm kind of anxious to see that, the Dan Brown continuation, because I read both of those books, 1, 2, 3, and Angels and Demons actually was the first book. Not the, you know, it wasn't the other way around, the Da Vinci Code, and they were like summer reads for me that I knocked out. There was a bit of time between each one of them, and I think this, there's some controversy, a lot of Catholics upset over the second book, just like they were on the first one being made into a movie, but, and for interesting reasons. We'll get into that though when we get closer to the movie. That's not this week, that comes out next week. Also, more on Justice David Souter, who's going to take the place of Justice Souter, who decided 19 and a half years, he's 69 years old, that it's time to retire. And he certainly wasn't the oldest guy on the Supreme Court. Could be perhaps a woman, or could be maybe Hispanic because of the population that's been suggested certainly before. All right, speaking of judges, Judge Hyman joins us now on the show, and we're going to talk a little bit about something that we've talked about a ton, unfortunately, here on America Tonight, domestic violence and juvenile delinquency. And the interesting question that I've never been able to knock down, so he's the perfect guest for us, do the domestic violence courts, and we've had other people on to talk about similar things, really crack a whip on this, really make a difference? Hey, Judge, thanks for joining us. We appreciate your time.
Thank you for inviting me.
Hey, that's it in a nutshell. does it make a difference? Does it really make a difference whatsoever in cracking down on this?
Well, it depends upon what you're defining or what you're talking about with respect to making a difference. Are we talking about making a difference to the defendant in terms of changing his behavior in the future, or are we talking about assisting the victim and the victim's children?
We're talking about the defendant.
Okay. If you're strictly limiting it to that, I think the jury is still out on that one, to use a pun. I think that we have not figured out yet how to intervene in a way that will change long-term behavior. I think we do a good job with respect to changing short-term behavior while a person is still on probation to the court and while we're still reviewing the person coming back and things of that nature. But in terms of long-term, like we figured out substance abuse, we still aren't there yet, unfortunately.
Yeah, sadly, Judge, honestly, I wish that we could say that we're clearing up some of this domestic violence, but I have a brother-in-law who's a cop, and he tells me terrible stories. In fact, I have a great-uncle who was stabbed 30 times when he responded to a domestic abuse call, and it had to do with kids and the mother and the father, and it was just obviously an awful thing that happened, and luckily he recovered from that. But what do you think happens when the economy goes the way it's going now? Do you think you see an upswing in more family violence, and do the crimes escalate and get a little more heinous?
Well, certainly there's a correlation, not the cause of domestic violence, but certainly there's a correlation between being unemployed and an increase in domestic violence, just as there's also an increase with respect to substance abuse and domestic violence. Over 65% of all defendants are under the influence of either alcohol or some other type of drug at the time of the offense, and over 50% of victims are under the influence of something at the time of the offense. So, sure, there's a correlation because drinking and substance abuse also goes up during periods of unemployment. But I'm not so sure why we're so surprised with respect to violence in general. When you consider, with respect to rehabilitation, a person who is very violent in terms of gang behavior or in terms of robbing banks and things of that nature, that person is very difficult to rehabilitate also. Violence is a learned behavior, and it's very difficult to program that person differently. And violence is violence, unfortunately. What makes domestic violence more difficult than other kinds of violence is because you have the family aspect of it and because you have a person who doesn't want to leave. But other than that, when it's down to common denominators, it's still violence.
Yeah. And we should say, too, we're very pleased to have you on the show. Thanks for the time, because Judge Hyman, everybody, established and sat on, presided over the first juvenile domestic violence and family violence court in the United States, and that was back in 1999. And currently, he is a judge of the Superior Court of California, the County of Santa Clara, a beautiful area, where for the past 18 years, he's presided over cases in the criminal, civil, probate, family, and delinquency division, so he knows certainly of what he speaks. You established this in 1999. How big of a change, or what kind of changes have you seen at all in the system? And, of course, this is what we're talking about, since 1999, because that's, 10 years?
Right. The good news is that the teen domestic violence is being taken a lot more seriously now than it was when we first began the court. There's a lot more awareness that this is in fact a problem that is going on everywhere. Everywhere in the world, not just with respect to California or the United States. So it's a little bit easier to get people to talk about this problem now. There's actually conferences on teen domestic violence as a subset of domestic violence, just as there's conferences now on teen substance abuse. So in that sense, our knowledge is a lot better. There's a lot more studies that are being done, and it's being accepted a little bit more. Having said that, we haven't come a long way in certain other respects, in the sense that there's probably no more than 3 juvenile domestic violence courts in the United States. So from that standpoint, that is from a specialized juvenile court, it hasn't caught on.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, obviously you care about this and you're passionate about it, and you like to see things change, and you're presiding over these cases and trying to make a difference, and we're glad, obviously, that you're doing that, any dent that you can make. But it really depends on the other judges, doesn't it? Other people that preside over specific cases as to how things end up going down, because there are certain things that will influence, I would assume, the judges, the other judges that would get cases like this.
Well, absolutely. And this is an assignment that most judges try to avoid. It's not something that's fun, that's positive. I mean, it's outright depressing on many occasions, where you see horrific stuff that borders on abuse and neglect in terms of what goes on. So, unfortunately, in many specialty assignments, the judge is the most important person in the courtroom. That person sets the tone, sets the meetings, the agenda, and things of that nature. And if you have a person who is assigned to some kind of specialty assignment, not just domestic juvenile violence, but also adult domestic violence, substance abuse, mental health, all kinds of specialty courts, if that person doesn't want to be there, you're better off not having a specialized court, because it just isn't going to work. And there actually might be worse things that happen than if there were not a court established at all.
Do you think any of this, I mean, I'm not asking you to be a psychologist, but I'm just thinking out loud with conversations and stories and things that I've covered before. Is some of this due to, when we talk about neglect or kids and the way they're raised, is some of this due to the fact that kids often feel neglected, or they're in a single parent home, or they're abused as really, really young children? What do you think, you know, what steers teens in these directions?
Well, if we're talking about substance abuse, then all of those things that you just mentioned are reasons for self-medication, which cause or lead a person to juvenile substance abuse. If you're talking about domestic violence, for the most part, it's a learned behavior, and for the most part, they are mimicking, in fact, what they observe. So they're seeing their fathers physically beat their mothers or other relatives. So it's something that they're seeing, something that they're perceiving is being okay, and something that, depending upon the family structure, is something that's not discouraged. Our studies indicate from our own court that a very high percentage of juveniles that are involved in teen dating violence come from homes where teen dating violence occurred, which is probably no surprise.
Yeah, so the courts, I mean, maybe the answer to the question is the courts can't necessarily fix violent homes. I mean, there's other things that have to be done. What can be done outside the courthouse to really try to change this more?
Well, I think that the good news is I think that people are trying. I think that schools are trying, and schools are in an awkward situation, because depending upon where a school is located and depending upon how parents feel, some parents feel that it's inappropriate for the school to get involved in family kinds of issues. Some parents, you know, don't want their children exposed to substance abuse discussions, or with respect to sex education and things of that nature. And some schools are now trying to teach, you know, what does a healthy family look like? What does a healthy relationship look like? Because if you come from a family that's, you know, the joke is everyone comes from a family that's at least a little bit dysfunctional. You know, I don't know what dysfunctional is unless it's the horrific side of the equation. But, you know, parents, if they are talking about sex education or substance abuse education at all, probably are not talking about what marriage is like. Certainly my family didn't. You know, I have no idea what this concept of love is, ups and downs and things like that. I mean, you have this perception of your parents as being the cleavers, and, you know, that's not day-to-day reality.
That's not relationships. Yeah, that's not relationships. Very well said. What a note to end on. Judge, keep hammering away at this, and thanks for your good works. I hope that we find there are more courts that start to develop like yours in the near future. Thanks, Judge.
Thank you.
Judge Eugene Hyman, of course, as I said, trying to help the situation with the juvenile domestic violence. More to come on the flip side here on ATN.
Companies continue to lay off thousands of people. Unemployment is the highest it's been in over 30 years.
Statistics prove that in a recession, crime rates go up. Everyone needs something for that extra edge to prevent becoming a victim in these difficult and trying times. You need to prepare yourself with DPS pepper spray, available at MrDefense.com. DPS is the strongest pepper spray in the market and is the same spray used by hundreds of law enforcement agencies from around the world. Need something more? The Scorpion stun gun is a great way to take down a potential attacker. Mr. Defense also carries the largest selection of air tasers, knives, self-defense keychains, swords, batons, survival, spy, and tactical gear. Mention this ad and receive 10% off of your order and a free self-defense keychain. Visit MrDefense.com. That's MrDefense.com or call 1-800-313-6400. That's 1-800-313-6400 for all of your self-defense needs today. How would you like to finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy? DebtCrisisSolutions.com can help free you from the debt trap. This is not a debt settlement program which has tax consequences or debt consolidation. With our program, there are no more payments to creditors or collectors. We will help restore your credit history, protect your property, prevent paycheck garnishments, and preserve your bank account. We also provide mortgage modification services which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure or are in the foreclosure process, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions today and speak to an advisor absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123. Or visit them online at DebtCrisisSolutions.com. That's DebtCrisisSolutions.com today.
Spring is here, growing season. The economy is not getting any better. In fact, it's getting worse. Think about it. At this rate, how will your life be in a month or even a year? Maybe you've been putting things off, but the time to act is now. You need to get your seeds before it's too late. At OrganicaSeed.com, you'll find one of the largest online selections of heirloom seeds, survival seed packs, as well as the giant vegetable seed collections that can feed you and your family for years. Grow your very own fresh vegetables, wheatgrass, fruits, herbs, rice, tea, coffee, and tobacco. With detailed growing guides available to you at no charge, you can maximize your harvest and investment. And the best part? All orders ship within 24 hours. So head over to OrganicaSeed.com. That's OrganicaSeed.com. OrganicaSeed.com today.
Coming on this weekend again for me or what it is, but time to roll out the dungeon, and I'll tell you who we're going to put in the dungeon this time around. Don't know if he'll take the key and accept an offer to come on the show, but we're going to hand it to him anyway. I'll tell you, Joe Biden takes the cake with sometimes the way he fumbles around with words, and I get that he's right. I mean, do you really want to get on an airplane and go to Mexico? No, but he's the Vice President of the United States. The airline industry doesn't want the Vice President of the United States to say, ooh, those confined quarters, those places like the airlines, because they're frantically trying to fill up their birds that they're flying to Mexico. American Airlines flies a ton to Mexico City and to various areas, Cancun, et cetera, you know, all the tourist hotspots, and suddenly they have nothing but cancellations, and the same for all the other air carriers as well. And they were the most vocal coming out and saying they were stunned by the vice president's remarks and specifically talking about air travel. And then even Janet Napolitano, as you heard, we aired just a while ago on the show, her comments about Biden and saying that's not what he really meant to say. And that's like the standard thing. Anytime Joe says anything, just say that's really not what he meant to say. What the vice president was really trying to say was this. So for that reason, Joe Biden, a trip to the dungeon.
This chamber has no windows and no doors.
I know I had to do it. So he gets a key. I'm sending it tomorrow. We'll see. He could be on these airwaves sometime soon. A couple of quick headlines that we've been talking about throughout this show. Left-leaning Justice David Souter is going to retire after almost two decades on the Supreme Court. Obama gets his crack at filling a spot on the high court. This is big for him. Will he go the female way because there's only one woman judge? Will he appoint a Hispanic or some other minority? It'll be interesting to see the choice, but you can guarantee that they're probably going to be of the more liberal-leaning variety, at least if he has his ways. Of course, you never know once somebody gets in there. More schools, of course, closing. Swine flu cases passed the 100 mark on Thursday in the United States, and they're working on a vaccine that might be ready for the fall, but that would be the earliest. And, of course, the Chrysler case goes into bankruptcy. They're hoping it'll be done between 30 and 60 days. Now a couple of other people get a piece of Chrysler, and it'll be run by Fiat, the Italian automaker, left with the charge of turning things around, I guess, is the best way to put that. Hey, coming up this weekend, and I can't believe that I skipped over this. I am such a horse racing nut. I used to be really, really into it, as I have family members who are in the horse racing game, two second cousins who are trainers, which is neither here nor there, except for that I grew up a little bit around horse racing. And this is a big weekend because you have the Kentucky Derby, the race for the roses, the run for the roses is really what they call it. It's the 135th running. Earlier this week, we had Joe Drape on from the New York Times who handicapped it for us, and he liked Frisian Fire. That was a horse that I picked way back when, so I'm going to go with Frisian Fire as well, not the favorite. A horse called Shortcut Wise Revenge with a 3-to-1 odds. Remember, if you pick the favorite and you just put a couple bucks down, you don't win anything. Anyway, it's more about the trifectas and the exactas and whatnot. Matt, will you be watching the Run for the Roses?
I will be... Nope, I can't.
You'll be on the air.
Yep, I'm going to be on the air.
Well, you can look at the corner of your eyes in the beautiful studios. Isn't there some monitors?
I'll probably be watching it somehow. But I got a derby party to go to afterwards, so I'll catch the after effects of it.
All right, so the after derby party.
Right.
And that's still good. That holds up, absolutely. Time to go back in history and look at this day in history. One of my favorite things to do, I always say that here on the show, because that's that whole thing about history repeating itself. You know what I'm talking about. Well, if we do go back in history, do you believe that it's shockingly May 1st? I can't believe it. May 1st. Where did April go? The pages of the calendar. I didn't even flip it over today. I am the worst at the dates. So anyway, there are 244 days left in the year. 100 years ago, in 1909, Walter Reed General Hospital, later a part of the Walter Reed Army Medical Center in D.C., admitted its first patients. So how about that? And again, 1909 was the date there. In 1707, the King of Great Britain was created as a treaty. The Kingdom of Great Britain was created as a treaty merging England and Scotland. That's when that took effect. Also, this is pretty big, 1786, Mozart's opera, The Marriage of Figaro, premiered in Vienna. In 1884, construction started on the first, this is pretty cool, first skyscraper, a 10-story structure in Chicago, built by the Home Insurance Company of New York. In 1893, the World's Columbian Exposition opened to the public, that, of course, in Chicago. Here's an interesting one. In 1898, Commodore George Dewey gave the command, "You may fire when you are ready, Gridley," as an American naval force ripped apart a Spanish squadron in the Manila Bay during the Spanish-American War. How about this? You ever think about the Empire State Building, 1931? New York's 102-story Empire State Building was actually dedicated, so not necessarily that long ago. 1963, James W. Whitaker became the first American to conquer Mount Everest as he and a Sherpa guide reach the summit. A lot of interesting things in history. 5 years ago, attackers stormed the offices of a Houston-based ABB Lumps Global company, killing six Westerners. This was sad, and a Saudi. All four attackers were killed, by the way, after an hour-long police chase in which they dragged the body of an American from the bumper of their car. Also 5 years ago, Smarty Jones won the Kentucky Derby, becoming the first unbeaten Derby winner since Seattle Slew in 1977. That's my second cousin was the trainer for that horse, John Service. It was exciting because it came all the way down to the Belmont Stakes, and Smarty Jones barely lost. That would have become a Triple Crown winner. All right, we have birthdays for you, and there's some interesting birthdays that we're celebrating today. Some of them you might remember. Oh, my gosh, and we're almost out of time. Don in Wyoming, you have the last word on the show as we go to birthdays. What say you, Don?
Thanks, Kate. Hey, not much time here, but this looks like a fun weekend. Got Wolverine.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've been catching anything. This series going on between Boston and the Chicago Bulls.
Yeah.
Triple overtime tonight.
That was incredible.
And, of course, they'll Saturday afternoon after the Derby, they'll have the Game 7. And if it's anything like the rest of it, that could be one of the – even if you're not a basketball fan, that'd be game to watch.
I think so, too. I'm going to be doing what you're doing. I'll be watching the Derby, and then I'm going to be watching the Bulls game as well, the Bulls-Celts game. If they pull that out, that is huge, and they could. So it's a good weekend for sports, certainly. And then we have baseball, of course, in between, and a lot of other things. Hopefully you'll get to chill a little bit, my friend.
Right, right, right. And other than that, have a good weekend.
Hey, you too. Appreciate it, Don. Don is obviously a huge movie fan, and so are we here on the show. He appreciates good movies, and he tells us when he goes and sees them, and usually he catches a couple of the new flicks that come out. I'm sure he'll probably try to go and see Wolverine. As far as birthdays, quickly, we'll leave you with some of these. Sonny James is 80. Judy Collins is 70. Actor-director Douglas Barr is 60. Hall of Fame jockey Steve Coffin, who was aboard Affirmed, who won the Triple Crown, is 49 years old. That's a big milestone for him. Also celebrating a birthday, movie director Wes Anderson is 40 years old. Country singer Tim McGraw is 42 years old. Gospel R&B singer Tina Campbell, Mary Mary, is 35. Actress Julie Benz is 37 years old. If you're celebrating a birthday, happy birthday to you. I'm going to leave you with this thought. He who is swift to believe is swift to forget.
Excuse me.
Yes, sir.
That is a lucid, intelligent, well-thought-out objection.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Overruled.